Back Talk is an extension of the award-winning movie review show It's Movie Time, which airs on Fridays at 4:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, the podcast features additional content and banter with guests. Back Talk is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie podcasts on NPR.
How sweet that is. I'm John DeSando.
I'm Ezra Hoover.
And this is Back Talk. There are hundreds of iterations of the Frankenstein story.
Yes.
And I can't believe in the mid-19th century, that little cute little group, including Percy Bysshe Shelley and Mary Shelley, and she creates people are just fixated about this
Mary
story.
Mary Wollstonecraft, well, I will say.
Wollstonecraft, okay. Thank you. She creates the story. It's kind of a little contest.
Incredible. And to think that, little did she know, all these years later, she'd create a whole genre of itself. Character, it's such an interesting character and also allegory of someone creating someone else. And then the examination of what is life about? What is my purpose in life? And even now, you could even apply that to, we're just going to jump right in. Why not? It's modern day equivalent would be AI. Is it alive? Is it not alive? Most people probably are familiar with this character, Frankenstein. The monster is not Frankenstein. The monster is Frankenstein's monster, which has no name.
And the director is Guillermo del Toro.
Guillermo del Toro, yes, exactly.
Whoa. This guy fulfills the promise, motion pictures.
He sure does.
His visuals are incomparable.
And what a match made in heaven. His unique take, his creativity on monster creation. He's got almost like Spielberg. And actually, some of the scenes were almost kind of Spielbergian in this movie, the set design. And I believe he designed and directed every last
bit
of this movie. But the set pieces, when they're in the water tower or when they're underneath the aqueducts and everything, it's gorgeous.
Spielberg is so humane. Even this can't get as close to him. But yes, the thing that Del Toro brings, and I think you're so right, is the humanity of the monster. Mm-hmm. And this is not a monster.
It is not.
I will ask you a physician's point of view on this. Emphasizing the humanity, actually the creator is more inhumane than the monster.
Right.
Don't you think?
Right, right. And almost Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Yeah, right.
Going back to that. Where he is someone who is gifted, but perhaps cursed with this preternatural intelligence. And he is obsessed, again, kind of almost reminding me of Captain Ahab. He's after this unachievable goal of taking dead bodies and piecing them together and bringing them to life.
Dr. Frankenstein is played by one of my favorite contemporary actors, Oscar Isaac.
He's been phenomenal. But, and after this, I'm sure he will.
Wow. The opening scene to me is as powerful as anything the whole film shows. And that's the ship.
It is.
In the ice.
Right.
More perfect looking captain.
Well, I love the phrase. Exactly. Are they Danish or Finnish? They're one of those Scandinavian countries. They all got the sky blue on.
Yeah, they have the snow coming off their beards.
Right, right. These guys are designed to be up there. But I thought it was such a tight first 5 to 10 minutes. They haul him out of the snow, and Oscar Isaac in all his disheveled glory, that beard and the curly hair, and he's on the brink of death and telling them, give me back to the creature. He will never, ever give up.
And he's willing to have them give him to the monster.
Yes.
And I love the captain, because he's not going to have any part of that. Nope. There's no way. The crew is so scruffy. And the captain is so tough. And he takes care of Dr. Frankenstein. And then, yes, Dr. Frankenstein tells his story. And it's a beauty.
It is a beauty. And I love that we get to see his back. When we get such an evil character, I think it's a little bit of a letdown when you don't get a background. But
yes,
we get an absolute, very detailed history of why perhaps he is the way he is.
Yeah.
And his relationship with his father.
The monster is played by Jacob Elordi.
Yes.
Coming up.
Is he really?
In Wuthering Heights.
Okay. All right.
And I suspect he's playing Heathcliff. I don't know for sure, but
those Aussies are useful because they can switch to a British accent.
Too tall for this.
Frankenstein is supposed to be this massive hulking person, so I was expecting them to pick maybe a basketball player or something, but he's only 6'5", John. But through the magic of filmmaking, they make him look much, much taller.
Well, yeah, all you need to do is angle your camera.
Right. Very impressed with his physical acting along the lines of Andy Serkis, the way he's able to contort himself. And as somebody that is 6'5", myself,
yes,
quite a bit older than him, there's no way I can bend into those shapes anymore.
No, so, right. Yeah.
Where he's walking around almost cat-like on his hands and knees and physical grace of this creature. I thought it was very impressive.
Frankenstein's, his brother is going to marry the chick in the film.
Yes.
Played by Mia Goth.
Like, what a perfect name.
And she is really good for this.
She is. She has this goth look, I hate to say.
Yeah.
She doesn't really have, her eyebrows are kind of missing. She's still pretty, but she has these deep set of eyes.
Yes.
She's perfect, almost like a Tim Burton movie. You
know? Oh, yeah. She does have that ethereal look about her. Well, she probably likes tall guys. I don't know. But she is taken
by the monster.
Right, by the monster. And it is really well done.
It is.
Because otherwise it would be laughable.
It is. And it's a classic example of women not picking the best guy for them, because the guy she's engaged to is seems like a pretty good guy.
Oh, he's a bit of a dork.
Yeah, he
he's
the dork.
Brother.
He's not exciting.
Right, right.
He's not
but he's going to fund the doctor's experiment. And lost in all of this is Christoph Waltz.
Fantastic.
I love Waltz.
Ever since, I think it was Inglourious Basterds.
Oh,
that was his...
He got the Oscar.
Yes, and he deserved it.
Oh my gosh.
Really cool guy, fantastic actor, and I believe he speaks maybe five or six languages.
Oh, there's no doubt he's
really
brilliant.
Really cool guy.
I believe that opening is one of the best openings ever in film, that one in Inglourious Basterds.
Oh,
when
yes.
he's coming over the hill.
Yes, yes.
And the family knows they're coming there.
He's able to play that happy-go-lucky, but also somewhat nefarious
character. Smarmy comes to my mind.
Yes.
Perfect. The beauty of that was...
Number one, it's horror, and I'm a big horror fan. But two, it's released on Netflix, and I'm so happy. Finally, we're releasing good movies on Netflix.
And that is a shame.
Is it a shame?
It should be seen
there in theater. There was limited theatrical release, a little bit.
I know there was.
I don't know why. Why do you think they did that?
They do that for Oscars. It's a requirement.
Oh, okay. Do you think it would have done as well in theaters? It's a little niche.
No.
Right.
And that's a great question. I believe not.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I love it and you loved it.
Right.
It's not forever. No. Ezra Hoover, people have to go to our podcast. In this case, it's Back Talk. You have to go to WCVE.org. Podcast experience and podcast. Now listen, the people at FeedSpot love us, so don't think we're just blowing
and we love
smoke.
Them too, John.
Right, and we love them. What do you advise on Frankenstein on Netflix?
Question. Go watch it. Everyone, you've got Netflix or your friends got it. Someone's got it. Go watch it. It's a rare treat. It's basically a free, magnificent show by an excellent director, great actors,
yes.
great story.
You used the right word when you suggested to me that we do this, and you called it a masterpiece.
Yeah.
And I thought... You are absolutely right.
I love it.
But that doesn't mean all our friends will like it.
Right.
Particularly our candy-ass friends who,
right.
who don't go to a horror film and they have no idea what they're missing.
Now, I will, one caveat, there is a lot of gore, very realistic gore, not with a monster, but with other things. So if you are a little bit squeamish, that maybe it's not the movie for you. But if you can tolerate even a little, it's worth it.
All right, Ezra, we are looking at Frankenstein, the newest iteration of that. We need to look at a few other Frankenstein films. But before that, you're a physician. Is there any part of this that you as a physician particularly have a point of view of that I wouldn't? I know I have a PhD, which means I know nothing about anatomy. But you do. You're a DO in one of my, and full disclosure, you are my physician as well. A physician's point of view.
I really enjoyed it. I think one of the things I love about Guillermo is not just his creativity, but his commitment to realism. He always tries to see, how far can I push this but still have it grounded in reality? This anatomical work, the dissections that he created.
Yes.
There's one set piece when he's getting close to making the discovery. Dr. Frankenstein has a cadaver folded up on his knees with back facing up with splayed open and all the nerves coming out. And it's pretty realistic.
All right.
I really enjoyed that. Having interest in medical history, the Colosseum.
Yeah, oh, yes.
The observation deck where they're all yelling at him and he's showing his work. That's real. That's where the basis of our medicine was. I really enjoyed the basis and feels almost real.
No, in my family is predominantly a medical family, father, brother, and mother, nurse, and sister nurses, and I had no facility for it. And one of the things I thought I would never make it through was when you guys play around with cadavers.
Yeah.
Well, how did you approach that when you were thinking of becoming a doc?
Well, I hadn't really thought of it until I had to do it. I'm one of the last groups, because they're phasing this out.
Oh, really?
A lot of newer medical students, more recently graduated physicians, are just doing what's called prosections, where an expert has already dissected for you and then preserve it in plastic, and you can just look at it.
Get out.
Yes, because it's, well, you have to source these cadavers. They have to be preserved right. for weeks at a time. Exposure to formaldehyde, and there's a lot of things that go on there. But yes, I did do it actually. To be honest, it's more difficult than anything because the tissues get kind of dried out. But I won't go.
Del Toro,
yes,
does a magnificent job in putting you right there with the doc.
Yes,
and putting it together. What a splendid piece. The monster is not what people in our audience are expecting, I think.
And I'd love to get your opinion. What do you think of the design of the monster?
I thought the monster was too good.
I agree. I thought I was a little bit surprised based on Guillermo's previous work at how smooth and clean the monster looked.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because classically, he's a mishmash made of different parts. Took the leg of one guy and the arm of another guy and the spleen of another guy, but he's yet somehow perfectly symmetrical. Yes. He looks kind of like a model.
Actually. Oh, no, he does. He does, you know, and that's probably why he's going to play Heathcliff. So I thought that it was a little bit, for me, disorienting because while you don't have to look like Boris Karloff.
Yes.
And you don't have to have these little plugs coming out of you.
No, that was so goofy.
However, but as a young kid,
yes.
it really caught me. I mean, I was excited.
I grew up watching the Munsters late at night with the Frankenstein. But I respect his decision to do that because I think he wanted the monster to be a sympathetic character to where you could actually identify and feel sorry for him. And I don't know about you, but I did. They did such a good job of, yes, he's sort of immortal, but he feels a lot of pain. And he's always screaming the whole movie.
Well,
basically.
I was thinking of you and your new baby Zoe, who's probably about a half year now, a year.
She will be 6 months soon.
And thinking about you, because you're so bright, and your wife, Adria, is so beautiful.
She's a smart one.
And she is smart, too. Uh-huh. Is that you don't push Zoe a little bit, because here the monster can say only Victor.
Right.
If Zoe can say only Daddy, I can see you saying, now why aren't you quoting Shakespeare already?
I know. Don't worry. I've already started quoting to her some, Taming of the Shrew. But we'll see.
I mentioned something about my daughter and me, and we went to see Spirit of the Beehive somewhere around 1970, so quite a while ago. And she was deeply moved because there's a Frankenstein motif in this. Small, around the time of the Spanish Civil War, and they bring Frankenstein to the little town. And she's just a girl, maybe 6 or 7. Hmm. She sees it. She is deeply moved. Her life is actually moved by that. For instance, a soldier shows up in the barn, and she takes care of the soldier as if it were Frankenstein. She had seen the care. Part that most people don't see in the Frankenstein movie is when he's with the little girl. He throws her in. Nobody can understand. He throws her in because he thinks that she would float and enjoy it.
Right, right, right. So, yep, it reminds me of Mice and Men, you know, the character with his pet mouse. He just wanted to pet her.
Yeah, you know? Right, yeah. So Spirit of the Beehive long ago, I mean, you could just feel Mary Shelley there.
There was a glut of movies, and then it became a little bit passe. So a lot of the movies from recent, there has not been a good Frankenstein from recent memory. But I think there are so many allegories, you know, of Mice and Men and then other creatures that we can't quite understand. And actually, as an aside, the character Jacob Elordi, when you see him as Frankenstein, he reminds me of Prometheus, kind of an alien's precursor, but that tall, slender white figure that they always go back to.
Yep.
And they mention Prometheus, actually, quite a bit.
And in the title,
Modern Prometheus.
Yeah.
Correct.
So he brings fire.
And he's punished.
Yeah, and he's punished for that. That's so cool. How about Mel Brooks? Young Frankenstein in those. Does that move you at all?
I don't think I've seen any of the other Frankensteins, John. So you're going to have to tell me about it.
It's just that it's a different take. It's comedic.
Well, it's interesting. Well, from a different, a generational perspective. For me, Frankenstein is a comical character. Again, like the Munsters.
Yes.
Someone big and kind of goofy.
That's right.
The scary element is not really there. I think we shifted more towards Dracula, you know, Nosferatu, and those have been more, I think, popular recently.
And I love them. Yeah. I love that. Yep. Yeah. Two of them I picked out just besides Abbott and Costello, which actually I enjoyed.
Okay.
Yeah, there was a good comedic take on it. There was one called Jesse James Meets Frankenstein's Daughter. What are these guys smoking?
Like actually the scientist's daughter? Okay. I'm surprised you haven't mentioned Bride of Frankenstein. Oh, that seems right.
About to.
Okay. That's up your alley.
You know something? Bride may be better than the original Frankenstein. And it's both by James Whale.
Okay. Do you think that Mia Goth's character is set up almost to be that, to be Bride of Frankenstein?
I think you're
She seems to want to be with him.
Yeah, she's less... If you could believe, she's less aggressive, though, than the Bride of Frankenstein. And you know another thing that got me? What I love is this thing just stimulates. Why do they need candelabras? The guy's capturing electricity.
That's very true.
I thought I saw a couple of lights, and I don't think it was lights coming from
outside. No. You're right. That's a good point. You do have to suspend disbelief a little bit for the more fancy, flashy stuff. Maybe he can only harness lightning, and he doesn't have any batteries.
Yeah. I know.
Waiting for Edison.
You know what makes me think? Every time I see science fiction movies, fighting. Uh-huh. Why are they bothering to fight? They have these spaceships, and then they bring out things that are just like guns.
Right.
Yeah, and
that is one of my biggest criticisms of many of the Marvel movies.
Oh, good.
Why do you keep shooting Superman with a pistol? You know?
Yeah, right. And why do you keep fighting? I mean, what good is that?
Right.
But you have to. Another take, Edward Scissorhand.
Okay.
Okay. And Tim Burton, who has Beetlejuice. They all have monstrous characters.
Who, by the way, was Johnny Depp long time ago.
Yeah, I'm glad he made all that money so he could be comfortable these days.
Right.
Life is not comfortable for him.
Thinking of Guillermo, I think we talked about Way of Water or something.
Shape of Water.
Yeah, Shape of Water. Yeah. Way of Water's Avatar. Yeah, you like that one, right?
I love that one.
It's so weird and uncomfortable. That's another thing he's good at, just pushing you to make you a little bit uncomfortable.
Well, Sally Hawkins is one of my favorite actresses, and that was a truly weird film, but... It won the Oscar.
It did. I mean, it did. I don't know. No comment. When she goes in to lay a kiss on that blubbery, slimy fish man, I just get no thanks.
Another lighter take was actually a biopic, Gods and Monsters, about James Whale. And Whale is somebody who's as interesting as his movies. Mm-hmm. A bit whacked out, gay when he was right out there.
Okay.
And yet being able to adapt... This Frankenstein motif. It's his last days is in Gods and Monsters. What do you tell, your buddy that goes to the movies all the time with you?
Yep. You got to watch it. I mean, it's a fantastic movie.
Didn't go with your wife?
She watched it. We watched it at home. Yeah, it's on Netflix. And she loved it. She enjoyed it. And that was the last thing I wanted to bring up about this movie is anachronistic in so many ways. So number one, just in the time period, it's a period drama, right? Which is not a huge focus of modern cinema, at least popular cinema. But also the choice to be so conventional. Movies these days are so focused on twist endings. Or you talk about House of Dynamite, only half a movie, right? This one is a very, very prepackaged sail away home, the Dr. Frankenstein dies, and the Frankenstein monster, I will wander the earth romantically. Roll credits, very traditional ending that you don't get very often. But I actually found it fulfilling. I kind of enjoyed that. What did you think? Or was it too perfect for you?
Well, no. Actually, my admiration for Del Toro went up 10 points more for this.
Right.
What interests me when people try to rework, even when you start with Mary Shelley, and you play around with that perfect creation.
Yes.
And then you have so many years in which we've been trying it in movies in every different way.
Yes.
Here comes Del Toro, and I think you admire, and I admire, his courage.
Right.
In doing it.
Exactly. And I love the Easter eggs, too, historical Easter eggs that you brought up for me, quoting Ozymandias.
Oh, yes!
Which Mary Shelley's real-life husband, Percy Shelley, is famous for.
Excellent. Look Where did upon you come me from? And you are despair. Such a freak. Who knows this but you?
You do. You taught me about it. I love that, though, for the people who are into the lore and the real-life history of this character and the author.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yep.
We can blather with the best of them.
I think Frankenstein is one of the classic intellectual properties, especially in horror, and this was a loving homage to it, and I think it's absolutely worth seeing, especially it's already free on Netflix, so go watch.
And this is one of my favorite directors, including a few decades ago, Kenneth Branagh had a Frankenstein.
Yep.
And I think he did a great job. Well, I love everything that Branagh does. It's workable, but I really think you have to be a brilliant director to pull it off. Otherwise, people are going to say, saw this before.
Exactly.
So it's called Frankenstein, and the director is?
Guillermo del Toro.
All right. and see it on Netflix.
Yes, sir.
You can turn it off if you like.
You can pause it. Right? You can go get some popcorn and come right back.
Curse us, right? Curse us and say, who are these guys anyway?
I know.
This thing is way too horrible for me, but it's not.
No.